Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Good morning, I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is part two of Maturing in Christ. Last time, we were dispelling some common misconceptions about spiritual growth. To refresh your memories, the answer to the question, how do we become mature in Christ, is that, as Sheldon Emery used to say, we read, believe, and obey. We actually apply the Word of God in our everyday lives, ultimately to be more like Jesus Christ. And don't you think that the tables will be reversed when it's no longer for fear of the Jews, but it's for fear of the Christians, especially Christian identity? You see, the enemies of God want our people to remain baby Christians all of their lives. The Antichrist Jews have a heavy investment in worming their way into the seminaries and Bible colleges, the publishing houses and televangelism. And you better believe they have poured hundreds of millions of shekels into dumbing us down because they're scared to death of the babies learning to tie their own shoes and goose-stepping to the tune of Obadiah. Since the last sermon, the Lord has shown me some examples of some misconceptions that plague our movement and maturity in Christ. My wife is very good at challenging the men of Israel on the internet, and a recurrent theme is this idea that spiritual growth is a personal and private matter. In other words, don't play church when it comes to racial and political organization. Some of our people are too immature to know that they are doing the bidding of those who promote separation of church and state, which is a euphemism for eliminating the application of the word in our daily lives. Historically, the mature in Christ are the only ones who have resisted tyranny successfully. An example of disinformation came the day after they executed Timothy McVeigh. In the New York Post, they hysterically were claiming that Tim McVeigh has been martyred and will give rise to a new wave of Phineas Priest and lone wolves, and then rambled on demonizing the same usual patriot groups that they like to target. Well, they executed McVeigh, a year or so ago, and today is February 4th, 2003, and the thing in the news now is that there's a National Guard major that has been arrested for espionage. And the news media said that this information they had, which had to do with biological and chemical weapons, that were of most interest to the militias. Well, the militias really haven't done squat in this country, I think, because they're by the government. They're not by we the people. And ever since Waco, they were going to come to the aid of Americans in distress from governmental persecution. But then Oklahoma City happened and they said it all fell apart. Well, some of these groups attract and nurture the idolatry of individualism. And they only talk about unity in the sense of race while putting God on the back burner. And I can't think of one of these militia groups that aren't multicultural. But we can't do that because our book tells us there are consequences. I learned something very important many years ago, that when men give anything the power to do great things, that is equal to worshiping that thing. So when our people worship and serve the creature, in other words, the race, more than its creator, God says he will give them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart and vile affections. Romans 1, 24 and 26. The truth is, we don't grow in isolation from others or from God. We develop power, and I mean political power, white power, in the context of fellowship with our own kind and communing with God. God intends for his race to grow up in a family and to rally in strength with purpose. As we read Hebrews 10:24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, what day? It's the day of victory. As we see the vision of overcoming the adversary. As we mature in Christ, we approach a closer proximity to the kingdom. But we need the glue that connects our people. That bonding agent is the shining light of glory. And I did a series on that many years ago, which is basically talking about baptism. And the baptism is not being dunked in water, it's being immersed in the Word of God. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." If you're a lone wolf Christian, you should question whether or not you're really walking in the light. Who wants to be alone in the dark? The quality of our relationship to Christ is reflected in our relationship with other believers. 1 John 4:20 asks, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who doesn't love his brother, whom he can see, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" A Christian cannot be in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with believers at the same time unless the person is excommunicated. That's why some people go to the huge churches, the mega churches. It's because they don't want to relate to other people. There's safety in numbers, you know. And when there's safety in numbers, you don't have to be accountable to anybody. You can just slip in and out of church and feel real pious for one day, and then the rest of the week, act like a Jew. Someday, Lord willing, we will be a big church because we started the foundations by relating to each other. We have a formal church service format instead of a Bible study because there is more than one purpose of just study in order to mature. We make use of our gifts and talents in service to each other. We edify one another in worship. We share our faith and hope through the ministry. We evangelize the lost on the internet and at Benny Hinn Crusades. Not on the inside, but on the outside, trying to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mature Christians do more than study the Bible. We obey it. We experience it. We witness and give testimony of it. And as we practice what we preach, we actually enjoy life and all of its challenges. Sometimes God gives us a painful experience to make us change our ways. I've noticed over the years how some funerals introduce the idea of celebration. Well, if I die tomorrow, you can mourn for me, but also join in the happiness that life brings through Jesus Christ. We know that we are maturing in Christ when we can appreciate the extraordinary meaning of Christian life at any time. Jesus didn't say, I have come that you might read. Yes, we study to show ourselves approved, but for what? Heaven? No, for life, and that we might have it more abundantly. I can hear Jesus saying, get a life, brother. The balance to read, believe, and obey must not have one without the others. The reason we have so many weak and immature Christians is because they are either half-heartedly committed to too many causes or none at all, rather than being dedicated to the things that really matter. A barrier to positive Christianity is joining the wrong organization or supporting a person lacking spiritual maturity himself. People respond to their calling when they have a vision of the potential that awaits them. In contrast, people are often unmotivated by weak and pathetic appeals for help. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He said, you can't be my disciple unless you get rid of all your material possessions, Luke 14:33. He had a game plan, and he only wanted hardcore followers. He was not shy about telling people to drop everything they were doing and let's go make some serious history. People mature in Christ when they don't resent being asked to make a great commitment because they see the vision of a great cause. The ministry of Kinsman Redeemer is to develop a membership committed to fulfilling each member's life mission. Each of us are missionaries. No, I don't mean to Africa or India, but to our racial kinsmen. Our gift from God is seeing others mature in Christ as we did. The benefits of a growing body of Christ are the blessings of a healthy, vibrant instrument of righteousness. To be a part of a supernatural phenomenon, such as a church that is in harmony with God's will, is something you can't buy at Kmart. You can only find it by staying the course. Being a disciple of Christ requires discipline. But being ambassadors of Christ, we can diplomatically inspire the instruction of scriptures to new believers as something to be enjoyed rather than endured. Our objective is to get people started on the journey. Once they get going on the road to racial consciousness, they will automatically thirst and hunger for the deep things of God. We have not known the small s spirit of the world, but the big S spirit proceeding from God, so that we can distinguish the gifts God has granted to us. And what we speak is not in learned reasonings of a human philosophy, but by teachings of the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritualities spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. Well, Tommy asked me some time ago how I put my sermons together every week. And I told him it just flows with the Spirit of God. It's ironic that the previous scripture was gleaned from three different Bibles in order to discern what God wants us to hear. God doesn't want us preoccupied with comparative religions. He wants us to network and exchange ideas so that we can move that much closer to His kingdom. God will honor our love of truth. We may struggle along the way, but we will change and grow. So, what do people need to know? They need to know their identity. The day a white person discovers that they are Israel is the day the door opens for a whole new understanding of Christianity. Maybe we could call it Door Day. No, just kidding. This revelation means that they can now see life from God's point of view. As the Christian matures, he learns what God did and later understands why. How much later depends on how serious your commitment to the journey is. God will reciprocate, for strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. For those who, through their disciplined faculties, are exercised to decide between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. Unbelievers and baby Judeo-Christians do not have what it takes to know if Christian identity is right or wrong. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. This Trojan horse of multicultural diversity creates a very confused society. It's not that our culture believes nothing. The problem is that it believes everything, which is contrary to the first commandment and our manifest destiny. When we grow up in Christ, when we grow as a church, we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Ephesians 4:14. Let me read this verse that I just read from several different Bibles. That one that I just read was from the Living Bible, which is probably one of the worst paraphrases around. But reading from the King James, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now let's read from the AST. So that we are no longer without forethought, being blown about and being carried by every wind of teaching, in the deceitful trickery of men, in dishonesty, having no principles, on the side of the system of error. And reading from the Fair of Fenton, Ephesians 4:14. So that we may be no longer raw recruits, wavering and reeling at every breath of the training, by human cunning and villainy, perverting it into an instrument for error. This is pivotal scripture, Ephesians 4:14, because we go from being children of God to sons of God. We graduate from the milk to the solid food. Having a good, mature perspective is what produces stability in people's lives. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8, because he has not yet made the commitment to grow. Faith grows accordingly. We go from belief to conviction. Now, a belief is something you will argue about, but a conviction is something that you will die for. Knowing what to do and why and how is all worthless if you don't have the conviction to motivate you to actually do it. A person or a church without conviction is at the mercy of current events as they happen. In the last year, we have had a grotesque increase in mongrel violence. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalms 2:1 ask. Well, I'll tell you why. If we don't determine what kind of society we live in, other people will. Other subhumans who don't like Christianity or white people. The church and church leaders must teach the values that will overcome the new world order, or what the Bible calls Mystery Babylon. Here in the Northwest, people have strong opinions, fanatic devotion, and die-hard convictions about the Mariners, the Seahawks, and the Sonics. year round. But you ask them about Bush's dealings with China or the Middle East, and you get this deer in the headlights look. No one is going to be interested in Christian identity unless they are persuaded that there's a good reason. Jesus' life was dominated by his conviction that he was sent to do the Father's will, which produced a deep awareness of his life's purpose and kept him from being distracted by the agenda of others. When we develop like Christ, God will give us a sense of purpose in life. We must be on fire for the kingdom as the greatest of aspirations, if the ashes of Esau Edom are going to be on the soles of our feet. As God turns up the heat and things get tribulating without a rapture, the vision of being salt of the earth for racial preservation will become contagious. It did 130 years ago in the Reconstruction of the South. It did 70 years ago in nationalist Germany. And the spirit of our forefathers shall rise again in us. The secret of our effectiveness will not be the art of war, but the art of making a difference, as did Christ. Ever becoming proficient in winning the hearts and minds is the key to our victory in Jesus. We shall fight with all the skill and character that the good Lord has put in our blood. When we understand how God uses us, mountains will move, waters will part, and the mongrel hordes will take flight from whence they came. God's plan is to perfect us, not to pamper us. God is not a sugar daddy, and the church is not a candy store. Faith without works or unaccompanied by results is dead. It's worthless. James 2:20. And as we read verse 22, and they're speaking of Abraham here, you see his faith acted with his works, and from his actions, faith was perfected. I'd like to close with this observation. Sow a thought, and you reap an act. Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. Hail Jesus the Christ, praying our Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. They shall put my name upon the children of the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.